Are you tired of listening to German language all day long?
Don't you just want to get your news and topics presented in English, even though you live in Germany?
Then here's your solution.
Yeah! Elephant in the Room, an English radio show where we discuss things that people tend to ignore.
Tune in on Color Radio on 99.3 and 98.4. Every second and fourth Monday of the month.
Elephant in the Room, a radio show by the Black Rose Radio Collective from Dresden.
Hate Mondays. Be organized. Stay cool.
Okay, welcome back on the Color Radio. You might have been confused if you're listening to us all the time, because today is no day for We Are Here. There will be Elephant in the Room, and somehow we have decided with the Black Rose Collective that there will be no more We Are Here. We are going to move to a little bit further with our concept. So We Are Here started as a Remembering Khaled initiative several years ago, when our editors came from several countries around the world and spoke different languages. In most of the cases, our discussions were connected with issues that people were actually discussing and associated with them directly. And those issues were connected with Syria, connected with Russia, connected with many other countries around the world where those people were coming from. However, in the last couple of years, several people left our show, other people came in, and our original concept started losing its fade or its hip or whatever you call it. And as a result of that, we were thinking, okay, we should move a little bit further and maybe do something new. So that's how the Elephant in the Room was born, and I hope it will be something for you to listen, something for you to enjoy, because we're going to put as much energy and as much love in the show as we did before. So stay tuned. I will do a music pause, and then we will jump into more topics of today's show.
Cool.
Okay, so we are back in the studio with Elephant in the Room on the Color Radio, talking about the things people tend to ignore. And today, the first topic of the show is not the thing that people are ignoring in Dresden recently. I'm alone today. I'm going to talk about the bombing of Dresden, 13th of February. It's coming up in 2 days. All the major newspapers are writing about it. All the Nazis from Germany are talking about coming to Dresden for that shit. And of course, before jumping into more details of what is going on in Dresden, I would make a short historical introduction for those who have no idea and maybe listening to us somewhere outside of Dresden or maybe just came to Dresden. So, the bombing of Dresden, 13th of February, was a British-American aerial bombing attack on the city, the capital of German state of Saxony, during World War II in the European theater. In 4 raids between 13 and 15 February 1945, 722 heavy bombers of the British Royal Air Forces and 527 of the United States Army Air Forces dropped more than 3,900 tons of high explosive bombs and incendiary devices on the city. The bombing and the resulting firestorm destroyed over 1,600 acres of the city center. An estimated 22 to 25,000 people were killed, although larger casualties figures have been claimed. 3 more USSF air raids followed, 2 occurring on 2nd March, aimed at the city railway marshalling yards, and 1 smaller raid on 17th April, aimed at the industrial areas. Immediate German propaganda claims following the attack and post-war discussion on whether the attack were justified have led to the bombing becoming one of the moral cause célèbre of the war. A 1953 United States Air Force report defended the operation as the justified bombing of the strategic target, which they noted was a major rail transport and communication center, housing 110 factories and 50,000 workers in support of the German war efforts. Several researchers claim not all the communication infrastructure, such as bridges, were targeted, nor were the extensive industrial areas outside the city center. Critics of the bombing have claimed that Dresden was a cultural landmark of little or no strategic significance, and that the attack were indiscriminate area bombings and not proportionate to the military gains. Some in the German far right referred to the bombing as a mass murder, calling it Dresden Holocaust of bombs. According to other critics, given the number of civilian casualties and claimed paucity of strategic targets, Dresden's destruction was unjustifiable and should be called a war crime, according to them. They claim the city could have been spared, like Rome, Paris, and Kyoto, though both British and American militaries defended the bombing as necessary. Large variation in the claimed death toll have fueled the controversy. In March 1945, the German government ordered its press to publish falsified casualties figures of 200,000 for the Dresden raids, and death toll estimate as high as 500,000 have been given. The city authorities at the time estimate up to 25,000 victims, a figure that subsequent investigations supported, including a 2010 study commissioned by the city council. However, not all agree with those numbers, and I personally spoke to quite a lot of people in Dresden who are still insisting that it was over 200,000, maybe 500,000. The question of like how the whole city would die because Dresden was at that point not more than 500,000. It was mentioned that there were some refugees from the east coming and trying to find their refuge in Dresden. And this introduction was just, you know, like a short historical facts that are depicting both of sides. However, for me, the story does have a political color, say like that. I'm not originally from the city, not originally from this country. And when I came to Dresden first, I was really surprised that there is a day in the city that is connected with the Second World War, that is heavily playing on the image of the victims of the Second World War. Germans being victims of the Second World War. And for me, it was really surprising because from one side, I learned quite well that Second World War was a horrible thing. It was a massive, you know, strive of murder for the human civilization, killing millions of people, bringing up the most horrific parts of the human character that you can imagine. And coming to Dresden, it was making sense, you know, that the people are remembering those horrors and seeing the war as something bad, something bad for the humanity, something bad for the society. And back then, it was, I think, 2013 or whatever, people were also talking about Nazis trying to instrumentalize the whole story. So they were trying to, you know, say, oh, poor Dresden, actually Nazis were not that bad and the British were the worst and the Americans were here as well with their machine guns and shooting the innocent grandmas and grandpas on the streets. And bringing, I think, several hundreds of people, Nazis were managing to bring several hundreds of people to the streets to commemorate, to have like a, how's it called, the marches, with the torch marches in the city and shit like that. So bringing back the worst parts of the German history to the streets and saying, this was not the worst part, you know, the worst part was when we got bombed and some people died. Yeah. So this was a little bit contradictory because I wouldn't agree with the point that people should die in fire and be bombed as happened to Dresden, as happened to many other cities. But on the other side, this victimization of the country that, you know, started the Imperial War was a little bit surprising. And I will jump more into details of what the hell in a moment after the pause for music. I want more.
Детские кровати стали маленькими. Кроссовки модные сменили теплые валенки. Карандаши цветные мы поменяли на валики. На вилы то, что было мило вчера. И удары валивают такие, что встать едва сможешь ты. Давай, ты же жизнь хотел свою сделать сложнее. Давай же, мы скоро к ней возложим цветы. Жесть градирует с каждым днем, а они все идут своим ходом. Раньше пальцем журили, а теперь в районе 15 суток. А судьи кто? И ты понимаешь, что ты в театре абсурда на первом ряду. Воду огненную внутрь, брат, кинь в меня улыбкой беззубой. Давай в аду с тобой встретимся и будем безумны там. Давай в аду с тобой встретимся и будем безумны там. Давай в аду с тобой встретимся и будем безумны там. Теперь в одном ряду с героями фильмов без хэппи-эндов. Затасканные, умотанные, словно тряпки из секондов. И лозило еблом наш отряд, но мы пока в порядке еще. И пока мы такие, запомни нас умытыми и нарядными. Ведь завтра мы можем пополнить невзначай легионы ублюдков. Пока есть что-то светлое во мне, держи меня за руку. Пока от отчаяния помогает вино из горла и чай горячий. И эта хуйня вся похожа на начало конца. Раньше пальцем журили, а теперь в районе 15 суток. А судьи кто? И ты понимаешь, что ты в театре абсурда на первом ряду. Воду огненную внутрь, брат, и кинь в меня улыбкой беззубой. Давай в аду с тобой встретимся и будем безумны там. И будем безумны там. Давай в аду с тобой встретимся и будем безумны там. Давай в аду с тобой встретимся, будем безумны там.
Okay, and that was One Shoot with Давай в аду встретимся с тобой, будем безумны там, from Russia. One of the topics today I'm talking about is 13th of February, which is coming up in 2 days. And the second part of this conversation is about the issues that I have with victimization of, you know, Dresden in the whole war. So I was previously talking that I was quite surprised when I came to Dresden that there is this remembrance culture of Dresden being a victim of the Second World War, being bombed heavily, And the story goes like that, and maybe you have heard it quite often. However, I don't hear in this story this connotation why Dresden was bombed. It feels in many cases that the whole thing that is happening was somehow in vacuum, that it just, you know, some evil people came, bombed the city, left. There were dozens of thousands of people dead, and then people started rebuilding the city. And I think the lack of the historical perspective is something that is really important for me, because this talks about the victims, this talks about Dresden, cultural capital, being a victim of one of the horrible wars, is lacking the point that Germans started the war. I don't want to break your heart living in Germany right now, but Germans started the war. In 1939, the Second World War started in Europe, not by the Russians, not by the British, not by France or whatever country. It was started by Germans. With the imperial ambitions, Germans went trying to conquer the rest of the Europe. And the suffering and the amount of dead bodies that were actually laying after the German army was passing through is something that is really important to mention. That people suffered from this war, that people were murdered, that people actually did see the war not for 1-2 days, not for weeks, not for several months. They were experiencing war and the foreign occupation and the Nazi occupation for years. So the stories of burning people from Dresden are really heartbreaking, but at the same time, this is the stories that were happening all around the Europe years before Dresden's story happened. And I think this is something crucial for me, because I don't see on the streets of Dresden people trying to remember the victims of the Nazi regime in the same amounts, with building up the people chains and stuff like that, and pouring so much money into the whole propaganda game to remind that, one of the biggest cities that was actually destroyed during the Second World War was a Warsaw, that Adolf Hitler actually ordered that the entire city will be razed to the ground because of the uprising in the ghetto. And the 85% of the greater city was destroyed, while people were living on the streets those days. And nobody's talking about the amount of the victims that Poland survived during the Second World War. Going even further, the famous siege of Petrograd that happened through several years of war, costed over 600,000 in dead bodies. And those people died starving. Those people died during the fights. Those people died in the really horrible conditions as well. But this is something not mentioned again. And these stories are not single ones. You know, the growing up in the Eastern Europe, you actually grow up on the stories of your grandparents who were talking about the horrors that were connected with the Second World War, with the Germans coming up. Like, growing up in Eastern Europe, German language for me was, for I think 8 or 10 years, was associated mostly with the Nazis. You know, if the people would speak on the streets German, I would consider them like really something horrible, something dangerous, something to be taken care of. I mean, partly the Soviet Union propaganda worked out, but at the same time, the trauma that was brought by the German army, by the SS army, and Nazis, you know, this trauma lasted through the several generations. And, you know, you don't want to speak German next to my grandmother, or, the rest of my grandparents are dead. But by the time, you know, they were still alive, I'm pretty sure that my grandfather would freak out, also listening to German language, taking account that he was actually getting medals for, you know, perceiving Germans as enemies and killing Germans. So this is something I think I'm missing a lot in the discourse on the 13th of February. And I think this is something that should be mentioned, that the city was suffering within the frame of the Second World War. within the frame of the war that was started by the population of the country, but, well, by the government of the country that Dresden was of. And that Dresden was actually a military base, and also the military industries. So if you're sitting in the factory and you're producing bullets, most probably you're not going to be shot by those bullets, because those bullets are going to the East or West front, and they're going to be used by the German soldiers, by the Wehrmacht, to shoot the others. But at the same time, it is no surprise that the war, but that those who started the war are going to be the victims as well in this war. And I think for the general population, for the people who were even today saying, hey, A will never touch me, you know, the Nazis coming to power, the right-wing government forming up, some crazy stories about someone trying to shoot the migrants at the border, this is not going to be connected with me. And we have to understand that all of those decisions that are made somewhere up there are always going to come back to us. And trust me, actually, that mostly the people who are suffering from the wars are not the people with the money who can, you know, easily jump on the flight and live somewhere else, rather than the people who have nothing and have nowhere to go. And this is the people who are going to be destroyed by the war, and this is the people who are going to suffer in the war, whether in Dresden, whether in Moscow, whether in London or in the other parts of the world. The war is a fucking horrible thing. But at the same time, we should never forget those horrors that the war brought to the other places. Yeah. Good. And as for the cultural events in the cultural capital of the Germany, there will be a demonstration on the 13th of February against the commemoration culture, against the victimization of Dresden. And then there will be also an amazing Nazi demonstration on 15th of February. They want to march through the city center. And an anti-fascist groups are calling actually to block this event from happening, because this is quite a spit in the face of those who are, you know, saying, hey, Nazis were actually not the great people and they actually killed millions of people. So show up to those protests, show that, you know, Nazis are not really welcomed in Dresden anymore. Maybe they were welcomed in 1933. But since then, a lot of time have passed, and apart from Germans, there are also a lot of foreigners who are not really in support of this kind of a reactionary politics. Good. I will make a short pause, one more song for you, and then we will switch to another topic. We got an interview from a friend from France who will talk a little bit about the Yellow Vests.
As far as supportive, he would have to support me financially.
I like a man that has money, that has goals in life.
It's night, but I can't stay asleep. But you do straight through. Say, baby, all that caffeine causes bad dreams. When all your anxiety is on leash, well, lately my days are much better. Can't concentrate when I'm at work. I just think and think till my head hurts of the pain. As I'm making, I just wanted to provide for you. If you wanna make a run for it, my love, I cover you. And if you need money for bills, my lover, I could cover you. Cause I sold some shit, I'm saving up.
Class, get a compact car for
Okay, and that was Desaparecidos, Man and Wife, the Former Financial Planning. We are back on Color Radio with Elephant in the Room, talking about uncomfortable things for the people that they don't want to notice. The second part of the show will be on the matter of yellow vests. We took an interview with a friend from France who's going to describe a little bit more of what is going on there right now with the recent updates. Yeah, enjoy.
The yellow vests, a movement which we all can observe in the last months already. Since last year, 2018, people are going to the streets and protesting, occupying traffic circles, getting organized. We already had several shows where we talked about the Yellow Vest movement. And the last weeks, there were some kind of new developments, like an assembly of the assemblies, and for example, more repression from the state. We have again today somebody from France, an activist from Paris, who will give us some answers to our question. Hello, can you hear us?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, awesome. So yeah, maybe we start with one of the things happening last week. There was an assembly of the assemblies, and everyone, or at least we were wondering how this is happening, what was happening there, who was inviting there, who was there, and what actually, yeah, was the outcome of that.
Okay. Yeah, I think it was 2 weeks ago or something. It was in the east of France, in a little village, who invited in December every assembly of Gilets Jaunes committee, yeah, to come to Commercy. The people, the group who have been called, they had to have reclaim, and just the assembly have to have the idea what they actually done before and what they reclaim from this assembly. It was coming from all over France. At the very beginning, it was not very visible that it was militant. The people were quite activist, not left wing, not extreme left. I don't know, but it was kind of on the second day. It was kind of obvious that most of them were quite. They were not coming from nowhere, but there was maybe 20-30% of the people who just never attend such an assembly. The people were gathering on Saturday and Sunday. There was maybe, I think, 70 groups. And for us, as observer. The most impressive thing was the question of the representation, I should say. The people had, from their own assembly, just a simple present. They just had to go there, and they didn't feel powerful enough or representative enough to take any decision. And it was really clear that the main problem with the representation and the power, who should have this power to decide. And this is the main idea of the Gilets Jaunes, I think, that the people don't feel against the government because they feel this democracy is just fake. And this is the question was which was very present in this assembly. And it was on Saturday kind of problematic because no one wanted to decide anything because they wanted to say, no, I'm not legal enough kind of can't say to take any decision not for myself, as we should say. And then people push a little bit just to write something, to reclaim kind of decision and idea, to make a conclusion of this assembly, but it was the only thing that actually came out of this. And it was really interesting to see, to share the experience, what which different groups had, to see that the media didn't showed actually what happened in little cities or in the province, as we say in France, and that it's very rich, actually, and that there is many kind of experience which... with what we heard here, it was really interesting, actually.
Okay. So the other thing that I wanted to ask you about is connected with the point that somewhere close to this assembly time, just a week ago or something like that, the government passed a new law on the public gatherings that are quite restrictive and quite repressive. Can you give us some more details and how it was actually taken in the French society?
I'm actually not so informed about it. It's kind of strange because we had the impression that it was already done in a way. It was so repressive that we had the impression, in fact, in the law, it's not obvious, but in fact, it's already the case. I think it's that many of the demonstrations are not official, so that the people gathering and having the yellow jacket are actually out low, because they have to... go on the prefecture and say we have this demonstration and this path and this this circle, this way we go, and if it's not official, then it's outlaw. And something with you're not allowed to have anything on your face, or if you are on the area of, if everything, a bank or anything, it's broken, you're also responsible for it if you're on the near it, actually. That's in general, it's impossible to, you are anytime, you could be victim of repression just because you're out on this on the street and wearing the yellow jacket. Actually, it's way more easy for the government and justice to just say you are in solidarity with this demonstration, or with if you are on the street on Saturday or when there is this yellow jacket assembly, actually. So it's really easy to have justice, to have an excuse.
So it kind of got worse in the way of the possibilities the justice system has right now, or I'm not sure if I really understood it. So right now the repression gets even higher, even so we know already that the repression is actually pretty high against the people.
Yeah, kind of. It's legally higher, so they can easily say that you're on the street and it's actually forbidden, because any kind of gathering is repressing. But there are so many people in the street that just can't. Repress any everyone, but it's really easier.
And was this also a topic actually on the assembly? Were people also talking about the repression question?
Yes, but it was not the main point. actually on this assembly on this Saturday in Paris, this on the same weekend in Paris, there was an attack of fascist on the NPA, which is the Nouveau Parti Anticapitaliste, which is not the it's actually quite rare that the fascists attack such groups, because generally it's just between the anti-fascist and the fascist. And they don't have any exercise or any kind of tradition of fighting with the fascism, and they just attacked them. And this was a topic that we actually knew on Saturday, on Sunday, that they've been attacked. And it's always kind of difficult to talk about it in the assembly, about racism and fascists, that few people in the yellow jacket just say, it's not the topic right now. Yes, we are not racists, but we don't have to say quite like now, because it will divide us. So it's sometimes kind of not so easy.
I can imagine. It's quite a heterogeneous movement. So of course there are conflicts, right?
Yeah.
And that's why I was interested. I read the statement from the Assembly of the Assemblies, and there was the call that all assembly who would like to subscribe or would like to kind of be in solidarity with that should do that. Was there more response on that afterwards, maybe for people who couldn't attend or were just not able to come or didn't come or didn't were maybe scared of doing such thing? Were there more people who now kind of join this common statement?
It's possible. We actually, there is another call on the 5th, 6th, and 7th April in Saint-Nazaire. It's the second assembly, and we've on our way back. We've been through a spot where the little house in the by the way in the street, and we saw like yellow jackets, and we talked to them. Like we've been to Commercy, there was an assembly and stuff, and they actually didn't know about it. So there is still many people who are not who just don't know about it. It's not. I will still say that it's in the left area of the yellow jacket. It's not so well known actually, but it's also the aim of the assembly who were there to spread the word, as we say, and to say to other assembly that it's actually existing.
I think that's a good point you just made, that you said, okay, it's more the left part. Maybe you can explain us a bit that. So France is really big, right? And you have a lot of different influence in political sense and how the society is shaped. So how can we imagine kind of, or can we imagine it in the way that the yellow jackets are depending on the region, are kind of influenced by different political ideas?
Yeah, that's interesting. The place where the Gilets Jaunes, actually the Yellow Jackets, were quite influenced, we also can see that here in Commercy, it was at the very beginning. It was not the people from Bure, which is this, it's not the ZAD, but it's this place where they are fighting against nuclear energy. It's very near of Commercy, and there was many people who are actually living here who are helping to organize it, and it actually also helped this organization and this assembly, because there was people who knows how it works to organize such things. There was also Saint-Nazaire, which is near the ZAD in Nantes. There was people from D, and it's also quite a region where many people with alternative life also lived. So there was a place where the influence of the Yellow Jacket and the radical and the idea are more a little more important. But I won't say it's just because of the link left wing influence, but there is kind of region who helped that.
Addio, chi offre vendetta nel rifiuto tuo per partorir pargoli di umanità. Vesti novella memoria, donna che culli avvenir di rinate libertà. Sposa di tempi cambiati, madre in lutto invaghita d'ardor, che scolpisci integrità. Raccogli figli mai nati in vie di ancor statica amor, inseguendo un'altra età.
Are you tired of listening to German language all day long?
Don't you just want to get your news and topics presented in English, even though you live in Germany?
Then here's your solution.
Yeah!
Elephant in the Room, an English radio show where we discuss things that people tend to ignore.
Tune in on Color Radio on 99.3 and 98.4. Every second and fourth Monday of the month.
Elephant in the Room, a radio show by the Black Rose Radio Collective from Dresden.
Hate Mondays. Be organized. Stay cool.
Okay, welcome back on the Color Radio. We are still with Elephant in the Room and talking about the Yellow Vest movement with a friend from France. So this will be the second part of the interview.
Yeah.
Okay. So for me, what is also interesting that we see in France development with the counter protests pretty much the same as it happened, for example, in Venezuela recently, or in Egypt, or in Ukraine, that you have the social movement, and then at a certain point of the social movement, there are people who are popping up and saying, hey, hey, wait, we're actually supporting the government, and our Macron is the best Macron in the whole Macronia. So the question there, I've heard about this red scarf march.
Yeah.
Is it getting momentum, or it was just one thing to you know, like pose on the media and then that's it? And how eventually there you see this reaction in the society of the people who are not supporting the Yellow Vests? Mm.
It was actually kind of funny, this Foulard Rouge, I think. It was not that big, and the people were not supporting it quite. I think it's not a pretty dangerous or great movement. It was 2 weeks ago, I think, or last week on a Sunday, and they have 1 week meeting, and it was kind of ridiculous, actually. I can't say it's nothing, but I won't say it could be a very dangerous or important reaction coming from the States, because it was only in Paris that I heard about it, actually. And it was just people from supporting the government and really rich, and maybe not rich, but I wouldn't say it's very, dangerous. But it's more the people not in this red scarf.
So do I understand it correctly that was more like the protest of the red scarves, the protest against the yellow vests in the red scarves, was eventually the protest of the people who managed to buy electric cars already, like the people who have a lot of money, and they are not actually facing the social problems that the yellow vests are talking about?
Yeah, it's just that they are scared because they see that it's very kind of violent in comparison with some other movement, and that it's actually kind of important. And they see that three days ago, I think, there was a house from the président de l'Assemblée, president of the Assembly in the institution, the government, his house in Bretagne have been getting fired. It was, and the people are really like touching and scaring the institution, and they are all shouting because the democracy is falling down, but not facing the real problem, what the yellow jackets actually point out. It's just okay, because they see that there is this demonstration every Saturday and it's getting violent, and they didn't want to see that.
And I've also heard that Macron left his golden chair and the golden table, and now he's traveling around France in the golden car. I don't know how it works, but in general, like, I've heard that he started a campaign for like a dialogue or something like that. Is it somehow affecting the protests? Are the people listening to Macron now, the promises of the neoliberals that the things are going to get better? And are the protests going down because of this campaign of trying to deal with the yellow vests and kind of pacifying the protests?
I would say no. Many of them know that it's a strategy coming from the government to win time, actually, because they are are kind of in a crisis, and they don't know what they should do, what they should say, because anything he actually, the government and Macron himself says, is then critic comes, actually, and no one is really believing on anything about this debate. Everyone, when you listen to in the social media or in the what the yellow jacket actually communicates on their nets, I don't know, their social media, they all say that it's just a joke, because the people gathering in this debate, it's the mayor and the people who have the right to be here, and when the people coming just from the village without any representation, and they want to attempt it, they are not allowed to, and the questions are already prepared from the government. It's everything. It's just I think the people really rejected most of them. And on the Saturday, it's not so, the demonstration are a little bit, not so big in Paris, for example, but just in Paris, for my case, but in Bordeaux or Montpellier, it's always kind of big, but in Paris, it's not that big as it was in December and the first demonstration. The people are just waiting a little bit, as we heard when we spoke to few people. They wait a bit just to see what's happening with this debate, and when they're just saying, it won't happen anything, but we don't hope for something coming from this debate. We're waiting a bit that it's just finished, and and we'll see. But there is no hope coming from here. I don't think so. And it's also from this Assemblée de Commercy, something that the people want to get further, that the debate is coming from us or from the Yellow Jacket, and that this assembly is the country from the state coming from the Yellow Jacket for them. And
Okay, cool. Yeah, thanks a lot already for all this information. What do we have to expect next?
What do we have to expect?
Yeah.
That's a good question. We have maybe that this assembly gets bigger and that the people get gathering more and more. There is action also. I don't know if you heard about it, but on Thursday it was there was a strike. It was actually the first strike calling from the CGT and other syndicates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was not that big. We didn't heard about it in the media, actually, a little bit, but we didn't have any numbers or any kind of feedback. Not so much. But it was big demonstration, and they are waiting. I think the next week next week on Wednesday, is it then? Yeah, there was another one. So I don't know if we have kind of hoping and waiting, expanding from the strike, which is also interesting from the Yellow Jacket. They are not so organized in their work, so it's something actually new for a movement. Otherwise, just getting more organized and be more pay attention to this the danger of the fascist scene, which actually trying to get more involved in this case. Think it's
okay. Another point actually would just came to my mind is that I don't know how if it's discussed actually in France or not, but for me it seems like that there is some response in Europe. Like there were also demonstrations, for example, in Belgium and in other places, but we also heard actually about demonstrations outside of Europe. But it feels like that inside of Europe there's not such a big response actually and solidarity, which taking account that we have kind of the same situation in all the other European countries as well, that there, actually it's a bit missing that in other countries people maybe also stand up. So I don't know, do you discuss such things also in France?
A little bit, but people are very happy, and it's very empowerment when the people know that there is also solidarity and respond where else in Europe, and that it's coming, it's very good sign, but it's not an aim or something that that the people organize, actually, because there is this local area which is quite important, and that the people organize them in the local local space, local area. And so I think they are not so disgusting about it, but I heard that there is one person which is actually quite well known, as we could say, in the yellow jacket. I don't know what his name is. We call him Fly Rider or something. he spoke a lot on the media and stuff, and he went to Belgium, I think, or Germany. I think it's Belgium, to meet some yellow jacket there.
Okay.
A little bit, but it's not something very, we don't heard about it a lot in this, in the groups and in the assembly.
Okay. Okay, cool. Yeah, but yeah, then thanks a lot for all your thoughts. We will try to follow everything what happens, and yeah, wish good luck, I think, with the struggle. And yeah, maybe we'll listen to each other in some weeks and see what's going on. So thanks for the interview.
Thank you for asking and just get interesting about it. It's also very nice, very good. Thank you for a job.
Yeah, thank you as well. Bye-bye. Okay, so that was pretty much it for today. I hope you enjoyed it. We spoke a little bit about yellow vests. I'm alone in the studio, so I'm not going to be we. I spoke a little bit about the 13th of February, and I hope you enjoyed it. We will be back. We will be back, hopefully, in 2 weeks. You will get the last song, and then stay tuned in because there will be some punk coming up.
Just like I lived 8 blocks away.
Now say goodbye.